You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk covering every team in the NHL. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Stars fans, it's Jeff Kay, public address announcer for your Dallas Stars, and you're listening to Starcastic Remarks, part of the Hockey Podcast Network. Go Stars!
Hello and welcome back to Starcastic Remarks. Jason Robertson is the big hero, scoring the overtime winner as the Stars defeat the Calgary Flames 3-2 in overtime. Check out DraftKings. Use that promo code THBN. Let them know that we sent you and gets you some free little goodies. I'm Chris. I'm joined by my brother, Ryan. Ryan, how do you like them apples?
Well, them apples keep finding different ways to win. So we're not just talking about apples. We're talking about oranges, bananas, all sorts of things. It's awesome. And, you know, despite the, I think we can both agree, the Stars did not play their best tonight. It was probably, you know, B-rated game. And they still find a way to win against a really good team. So, and I would say Calgary is a very good team. The way they played tonight, they deserve to win. They did.
Absolutely. And that's the big thing for me coming into this game. Calgary is a bubble team. I mean, they're fighting for their lives right now. And one thing that DeBoer said before the game started is it's hard to match that intensity. I mean, the Stars are 17 points above water. So how do you kind of match that intensity? And the first half of the game, I would say they didn't. Maybe the first two periods, I would say they didn't. But the good team that they are, they're able to rally, come out in the third period and play really strong, and they get the big goal from the big guy when they need it as Robo gets that the third period tire and then the eventual OT winner. I mean, that's awesome. Those three guys of Wyatt Johnson, Roope Hintz, and Jason Robertson are just absolutely rolling right now.
And I loved Josh's comment that he said. He's like, of course, who else? When they scored the first goal, of course, it was Wyatt Johnston. They're not going to be able to keep up this pace. Let's be honest here for a second. But if they can keep up like 70% of this pace, 80% of this pace.
That's plenty.
Dang, I really, yeah, I was about to say. And it's like, and we're also not getting a lot of contributions from some of our depth guys like we have in the past. Like, Steele has gone unusually quiet. Like they're not playing bad, but like the guys that you would see in the lineup that would pitch in a goal every once in a while are not really doing that all that much because they don't have to.
Right.
I mean, those three guys are taking care of all the offense along with Harley.
I would say even 5-on-5, Duchesne, Marchment haven't really been scoring a lot. And Dodonov, Ben has been not as good as we've seen it be at other times this season. And heck, it doesn't feel like it, but Granlund still hasn't scored a goal for the Dallas Stars. They said that and I was shocked. I was like, what do you mean? He's absolutely scored. He scored with Finland. That's why it feels like he scored. But with Dallas, he hasn't scored a goal. He's got a good bit of assists, but we still haven't seen him get a real tally. So you're absolutely right, but these top guys are just carrying us. And you look at those stats that that people have brought up about how these guys have been since January 1st, and they've been top 10 players in the league when it comes to points per game, all three of them. That's crazy. Unbelievable.
Can we entertain Ryan for a second?
We'll entertain Ryan. We're only entertaining you because you gave us a super chat last time. So I am going to pick number 9.
I'm going to say 7 because I always say 7 when I pick between 1 and 10. I don't know why we're doing it yet, but I'm sure he'll tell us.
Okay,
I'm sorry.
Next, the Stars swept the homestand. 4 straight wins after the break. Absolutely unbelievable, especially for a guy like Harley who played during the Four Nations in some crazy physical games and comes out and is playing 25 minutes a night for us. He racks up 26-45 for the Dallas Stars here tonight. And he's still just playing absolutely out of his mind. This was a down game for him, I would say. He was a little bit worse, and he was still absolutely fantastic.
Well, that was everybody. Everybody was right. Just a little bit worse tonight, and including Otter, I would say. Some of the rebounds were getting away from him a little bit. the play by Dumba was not as good as it's been over the last, you know, couple of weeks here. It just felt like something was a little off. Like the synergy wasn't quite there. The chemistry, the easiness, the last couple of games, and I didn't get to go to the game here tonight, but I went to the previous three, and the synergy and the passing abilities between all of the players on all of the lines just looked so easy to them. Like the zone exits looked like they were just in practice. It looked so easy for them. And I kind of want to say this because I want to give credit to Calgary here tonight. Calgary made the Stars work for it. And
absolutely,
they were consistently hemming the Stars in their own zone and doing all the things they needed to do to beat the Dallas Stars. And they almost did. They got three posts in the overtime period. And I'll steal the words of Jason Robertson in the postgame interview. Sometimes that's hockey. It just works out that way.
Ryan Gardner with the big $8 super chat. You can interrupt our show with randomness whenever you want if you will give us super chats, Ryan. I appreciate it. But he says specifically going to the Wyatt Johnson extension fund, which, yeah, I think that should start get going right now. So that's a we'll be over to Pop and Nil real quick. But yeah, I 100% agree. I thought the passing the last three games has felt like just so easy. You're absolutely right. Like it's just flowing, no problem for him. And tonight like you said, it was a little bit off. Those passes just weren't going. And it's a night where I thought you were going to have to go find and scrap and get a greasy one. And let's be honest, the Robertson goal probably shouldn't go in. So it is a little bit of a greasy one, but it comes because of how well they played in that third period and the amount of pressure they were putting on the Flames. So I'll take that as kind of a greasy goal in that regard.
Yes, that's exactly what I was thinking. I was thinking just the way that they played in the third period, they deserve to get that goal and at least get to overtime. For the majority of the game, they did not deserve to win the game because I thought Calgary was the better team for a majority of it. And especially that first power play for Calgary. What am I on? Am I on a Stars podcast or a Calgary podcast? Anyway, their first power play looked really good and looked really dangerous. And I was thinking, oh, crud, we're in a little bit of trouble here to keep our home streak going. Everything you said, I've fully 100% agreed with. I do want to jump back on your original point about the home streak, obviously. Four games in a row, it's nice to be home after not getting to see them for basically a month. It was quite awkward walking up to the American Airlines Center that first game back on the homestand. I was just like, this feels oddly familiar, but yet at the same time, it doesn't. It's something that they have been able to kind of figure out a little bit, and I'm specifically talking about the home versus away thing. At the beginning of the season, they just absolutely were atrocious on the road. They were 100% atrocious. They didn't even have a .500 record on the road, and they have slowly been able to rack up the wins in multiple different ways, whether it's been at home or on the road. At home, they've been dominant all year. They've had one of the best home records. They've been able to keep that while improving the road record. So, and again, this is with players like Sagan out and Miro and other guys who have been kind of out of the lineup for periods of time. Marchment has missed some time. Hintz has missed a game or two because of just some random little injury that he's got. So the home streak is just awesome. It's awesome to see, and it makes it even more important for the Stars to at least get that second spot in the Central Division to kind of claim that home ice advantage. Because even though we lost the first game in every single series that we played last year, at the end of the day, it mattered to the Dallas Stars, and it allowed them to win the series when it really mattered. So
the game 7 against Vegas, it felt really important that
huge,
that game was
absolutely huge that it was in Dallas instead of at the Fortress.
And since we got 20 games left, I guess we could start looking at standings. So Dallas has given themselves a pretty solid cushion against number 3 Minnesota. Minnesota's at 76 points. Dallas is now at 84. Both of them have the same number of games played. And yeah, after the 4-game win streak, we only gained 2 points on the Jets and only 2 points on the Capitals as well. So, yeah, and the Capitals won again tonight, by the way, 4-1. So it's just, I say just fair. Keep playing this way. Don't even look at the Jets. And if it happens, hey, cool. You probably want a President's Cup. But I think you're right to not assume that we're just going to keep on winning this way, especially as we head to the West Coast, which is the Stars' kryptonite.
I agree with you. And I'm not even worried about – I mean, when we've been as deep in the playoffs as we've had been the last couple of years, I don't want to call it the lightning effect, but it's kind of like the lightning effect, okay? They were consistently getting, like, what, second or third in the division when they were winning their cups? And then the one year they won the division and won the President's Trophy, they got swept by the Columbus Blue Jackets. So they were just perfectly content and just – improving their game, and if they lost the game, no big deal. Just don't let it turn into a long losing streak, which that has happened this year. They have not allowed huge, giant losing streaks. They have at most lost two games in a row. So that's been excellent as well. And they're just focusing on their game. There's just like little things that they can improve on that other teams can come in and maybe exploit a little bit, and that's how they right. would beat the Stars. So those are the things that the Stars are looking at. And again, it's without some of their best players and without playing their best game and all the depth that this team has. Yep. And we're talking about going out and getting another guy or on the defensive side or even on the forward side. So the Stars are in a really, really good situation right now. And yeah. I don't really care about the standings at this point. I'm looking at the team and I'm like, how are they doing? How are they playing? Are they winning games the right way? Not so much lately. They're getting a little bit of luck. But they are taking care of business and they are winning, and that's good. Teams find a way to win.
Yep. You mentioned some of the holes. Dumba and Bischel both got scored on for the two Flames goals here tonight. Bischel especially got dusted on that fantastic play. I can't remember who scored it in the first period. Help me out.
Farabee.
Was it Farabee? Yeah.
Yeah. So former Flyer. That's his first goal as a Calgary Flame, I think.
Yeah. And that was sweet, and that's something Bischel did not see in the AHL. I can guarantee you that. So in the AHL, you think it's a lower league, there's got to be some guys that are just ripping the thing up. Not really. There's like a few guys that are a few percentage points above point per game, but it's not like you've got 100 point scorers in the AHL. It doesn't really happen the same way. So he hasn't seen the same kind of skill that Farabee just showed him. So I'm glad he's learning it now instead of in the playoffs. But that just shows you why Bischel, while he is a great defender and he's exactly what the Stars kind of need with that physical presence that he has, he's going to be your bottom pair guy. He can be exposed in those types of ways. But he made up for in other ways too tonight. He looked at that reach on that half breakaway that the Flames had just a little bit after that. He's able to use that big long stick and make the play there. And I also loved that DeBoer after that. I mean, that's very clearly Bischel just getting turned inside out. And if that's a coach that doesn't trust his player, you can easily just bench him and for a while and make him think about what he did. And that's not what DeBoer did at all. He threw him right back out there and said, go make up for it. And I like that, especially for a guy like Bischel, who we know he's good. He doesn't need to be, I guess, berated for these mistakes. He needs to learn from them. So I think that was the correct response from DeBoer.
I agree 100%. And I'll talk about both of these guys here for a second, because this is obviously the weakness right now. Like, even when Miro comes back, the third pairing is going to be the weakness, because the fourth line for the Dallas Stars, it doesn't matter who is going to be on it, it's going to be ridiculous. I mean, we're looking at Dodonov being on that fourth line again, and he's played on the first line. So the Bischel play, he made several mistakes on that play, and I understood what he was trying to do. I wish on that play, and I wish I had like screenshots or something, but if you go back and you watch the play, I wish he had stepped up at that point on Farabee. Absolutely. Before the blue line, because you can use that blue line as an extra defender in a way. And he just stood back and kind of watched the puck. And that was his first mistake. And because one, that's not what you do. Two, that's how he plays. That's the physical style of the game and forcing plays. And that's what he does really, really well. And then obviously the third is getting completely deked out, and he thought he was going left or right to Otter's right.
That,
And he got spun around all of that.
That's just you've never seen it before. That's what I think that is.
Fair. And I think I love Robert Tiffin's tweets. Like when things like this happen, he I think he said something along the lines, and I'm paraphrasing because I don't have it in front of me. He said, Liam Bischel is now an everyday NHL defenseman thanks to Joel Farabee or something like that.
So, that is a welcome to the NHL moment, though, for sure.
Exactly. It's like, hey there, rookie, how you going? So I love that tweet. Dumba was not as good tonight as he's been in the last several weeks. Last game was probably one of his best games he's had as a Dallas Star. The thing that's different about tonight than we've seen in previous nights is that he is directly responsible for some of the offense that happened here tonight. On the first goal, the Wyatt Johnston goal, Dumba is the one that gets the point. He gets the shot through all the traffic. I'm not trying to make excuses for the defensive miscues that he had, but when you are able to counteract some of that stuff, then you're allowed to make mistakes like that. Is that fair in putting it that way? And again, I'm trying to make Dumba look more positive, and I'm trying to look more optimistically at him based off of what we saw at the beginning of the year and the middle of the year. This little after the dog days of the season thing we got going on here, he's looked really good. And as a third pairing defenseman, if he's playing and getting offensive chunks, and it wasn't on the power play. It wasn't on the power play either. That was the other thing. So I'm willing to give him a pass for tonight because of how he's been playing, and he was directly responsible for one of the goals here tonight too. So
I mean, it was still pretty bad. I mean, that play that he got scored on.
I'm trying to be optimistic, Chris.
He turns Come the puck on. Over immediately. And then he actually is given a chance to make up for it by making a strong play in front and pushing the guy out of the top of the crease. And he doesn't do that either. I mean, to me, this game just highlights that Dumba cannot be your sixth defenseman. I mean, that's what it shows. And I'm kind of going to disagree with you that this bottom pair is for sure going to be the weakness of this team. When Haskinen comes back, you're going to have Bischel Cece or Bischel Lyubushkin. I mean, for a bottom pair, I love that.
Well, okay, so what I'm saying is that is a very good pairing. I like that pairing, yes. But when you look at the team as a whole, that is the weakness of the team, even though it is a very strong third pairing. Is that fair?
I would still
say... That's what I was going with.
I would still probably disagree with that. I would say that the weakness of the team is the... I know they're humming right now, so this sounds weird to say, but it's going to be the lack of superstar talent, you know? I mean, I saw a couple of Stars fans saying this, like, why would Dallas even entertain the idea of Mikko Rantanen right now if it costs something?
We're
like
already back on this again?
We're getting back on it. We need to put it in the title. We got to talk about it. So
clickbaity.
But... And also, another preface, it's not going to happen. Jim Neal already said he's not going to give up Bork or Stankoven. So I put the percent chance of this happening at like less than 5. So, but the reason you think about it and you think about giving up that much is because you haven't had a superstar player to the level that Rantanen is at since Madonna, at least on a team that mattered. Like, of course, Ben got the scoring title and him and Sagan were tearing it up when the team was terrible. But on an actual good hockey team, the Stars have not had that kind of skill since Madonna was on the team.
Hey guys, it's Ryan here. It might not feel like it, but spring's right around the corner. Know how you can tell? Golfers are hitting the links, and we have some tournaments to be talking about. And if you want to do more than just talk, put your money where your mouth is. Get in on all of the tee to green action with DraftKings Sportsbook. From Thursday's opening round through the closing round Sunday, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with tournament props, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. And if you've never bet on golf before, it's easier than you think. Just pick something simple like a golfer to win the tourney and make your pick. It's just that easy. For example, when you look at the Masters coming up here in a little less than 2 months now, Scottie Scheffler is the winner right now, according to DraftKings Sportsbook odds, with a +350. Or you could go with Rory McIlroy at a plus 750. Here's something special for first-timers as well. If you do go and bet for one of these two guys, new DraftKings customers bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code THPN. That's code THPN for new customers to get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casinos and Resort, Kansas. 21 plus age and eligibility varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. New customers only. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. For additional terms and responsible gaming resources, see dkng.co/audio. And that's fair to say, but the question I would ask you is, was Rantanen as good as he was because he was playing with Nathan MacKinnon?
Right, and that's another one of the big questions.
And that's a fair question to ask, but it's also a little bit unfair because Rantanen has only been in Carolina for what, maybe a month?
Yeah, but he has sucked.
He has not been the same player that he was in Colorado, but again, he gets completely uprooted from his life. He was not expecting this trade to happen whatsoever. So
either way, that's besides the point. That's what all I'm saying is, like, the weakness of the team is that they don't have that superstar that a lot of other teams have. So,
and then we'll pull this up, James, with my point exactly. What I've been talking about, Wyatt is quickly becoming a superstar. Full stop. Yes,
that is true. He is well on his way. I mean, you have to remind yourself how young this guy is. He's 20, isn't he?
22. But I think he's just fixing to turn 22, yes. Damn. I know, it seems like he's been around for a while. This is his third season now, Chris.
Yeah, you're right. But that's crazy.
You could also look at Jason Robertson and say that he's a superstar as well, right? With the way that he's got 40 points in 28 games. That doesn't scream.
Recently, yes.
He has shades of eliteness.
The thing that separates MacKinnon, McDavid, Austin Matthews, and all those guys is they do it consistently. It's all season long. It doesn't matter if you had a foot injury. You don't have a slow start because you're Nikita Kucherov. You just score. That's the separation there, in my opinion.
That is fair. And maybe that's where Rantanen is. Maybe Rantanen is in that same conversation as Jason Robertson, where he has shades of eliteness and he can be elite. But
right. We just don't know because he hasn't played without MacKinnon.
Right, exactly. And who knows? I would argue that there are better players in Dallas than in Carolina. There are lots of skilled players in Dallas that he's got to, if he got traded to Dallas, there's got to be someone he would have chemistry with. Somebody. There's so many guys on this team that are so skilled.
Those are two similarly built teams as well, between Carolina and Dallas. And both teams are also happen to be hitting a conference finals wall too. So might not be a coincidence. We'll see. I hope it is a coincidence.
We don't get swept in the conference finals though.
Correct. This was only the second game of the season that the Stars came back when trailing after the second intermission. Only the second time. That being said, they're the third best team in the league still, so they're not behind very often when it comes to the second intermission.
That's a good point. I actually talked with Dad about this. We were sitting on the couch watching the game, and I said, you know, this, even if we, I said this, even if we lost this game, this would still be a really good learning experience for the Stars moving forward, because it's a very different type of game than what they've played the last month or so. They've been scoring 4 goals a game and they only scored 3 tonight. Boo hoo. The Stars suck. And tonight they had to push back quite a bit against a team that was playing really well defensively. That's one of the best road defensive games I've seen for a really long time, other than the third period. The third period, they kind of leaned back a little bit. But through the first 40 minutes, Calgary was playing the perfect road game. And the Stars were able to chip away at that. And I mean, it's just another way that you can lean upon in the playoffs when things get tough and when things get really defensive. And you could be like, hey, you remember that game against Calgary that, yes, they might or might not be a playoff team, but they were beating us 2-0 and we weren't getting anything offensively going in the first period. We finally slowly started to chip it away and we figured out how to win that game. We can do that here right now against insert playoff team here, Minnesota, Vegas, Colorado, whatever. And it's the same situation, down 2-1 or 2-0 going into the second intermission, third period. So it's nice to be able to rely upon that experience moving forward.
Right. I meant to mention this earlier. Granlund starts on the top line with Robo and Hintz. And I thought Granlund looked really good there. I thought Robo and Hintz were having a little difficult time maneuvering that. But as we go into the third period, Johnson gets bumped up to that top line. Do you think that's something they're going to stick with, Johnson being up there? You think they're going to go back to Granlund and it was kind of a, we need goals, we're going to stack the top line kind of thing?
I think that's what it was. I talk about going nuclear with the Edmonton Oilers, putting Leon and Connor together. Yep. Okay. It's basically what we did tonight. We needed a goal. It needed to happen. That's our nuclear option. Wyatt Johnson going up to the top line with those two guys. I thought Granlund was really good tonight.
He looked great,
on that top line. And the thing that he was doing is he looked more confident than any other player that I've seen on that line. And the other thing was, and he's like Robertson in this way, he shot the puck. I mean, I can think off the top of my head in the first 40 minutes, the amount of chances that he had. I mean, at least three that I can think of. He had one from the OV spot at one point, 5-on-5. He had a couple of other chances. I have it written down in my notes. I can't remember them off the top of my head right now. But he had several chances and looked really good on that top line tonight.
Yeah, I agree. And I think keeping Johnson down on the third line, it really allows you to highlight the strength of this Stars team, which is its depth. You're able to roll those three lines completely freely. You have supreme confidence in your three centers down the middle. I mean, having Roope, Duchesne, and Johnston down the middle for your top three lines is insanity. And hey, Steele isn't even anything to sniff at either. I mean, that's a third line on probably half the teams in the league. So I think that's a good way to start these kind of games. And when you do get behind, I like being able to pull out that ace up your sleeve, throw it on the table and be like, hey, let's go. And I think that's something that we have seen this season with Harley Heiskanen. I mean, they've been trying to keep them apart and go three left, three right. And when they need to get those points, that's probably not going to happen come playoff time. But when you need to get those points, or when we need to get those points, when the rubber hit the road and we were down, that's when they would put them back together. Now, I think you're right. I think those two are going to be playing together come playoff time, just because of how crazy good Harley has proved to be since Miro has been gone, and just we don't have three right-handed defensemen that we trust anymore. Well, that's been proven as the season's gone along and with injuries to Lundqvist. But yeah, so I like being able to pull something out at the end of the game if need be.
I kept going back and forth on this. Why does he keep going with this whole Wyatt Johnson as the third center thing? And it didn't make a whole ton of sense because he would just constantly move him back and forth. And that's one of the things that Brian and Seve were just talking about on Victory Plus on the postgame show, was like, this is a guy who is doing all of the stuff that he's doing, and he's doing it constantly shifting between his center and wing, between the first and the third line. So it made me wonder, does he keep going with this? And, you know, I'm talking about Pete DeBoer here. It's because Wyatt Johnson is as good as he is offensively, he is just as good defensively. He is absolutely a two-way player, and it's not one of the reasons. It is the reason why he has the most time on ice compared to any other forward on this team. And when you have a guy who can score, but he can also shut down the team's other top line, because typically that's what you see from a third line role from those guys, that's why he keeps going back to that guy, is because Wyatt is very reliable defensively And if you put him against those top players, not only does he take care of his own side, but he's also able to do it in the opposite zone, in the offensive zone. So that's why they keep trying to push this narrative of Johnson's got to be the third line center, because it just makes sense. And because Duchesne is not as good defensively as Wyatt Johnson is. He is good at points and does make good defensive plays, but Wyatt Johnson is the definition of consistency when it comes to a two-way player. That's why he's getting that third line role and why they keep pushing him there.
Yep. Agreed. Some non-Dallas Star specific stuff, but everyone on the Twitters and on the internets is saying that Brad Marchand is likely on the move, and a lot of people like putting Dallas next to his name. And I mean, I'm not putting too much stock into it because Dallas has been connected to pretty much every single player that has been rumored to potentially be on the block. But any thoughts on Brad Marchand joining the Dallas Stars?
Are you kidding? You're kidding me. I can have Brad Marchand and Jamie Benn on the same team, possibly on this. Wyatt Johnson in the center, Brad Marchand on one side, Jamie Benn on the other. Yeah. That is ridiculous. I would
he's
love
just a
that.
Small Jamie Benn.
He's a lot more annoying than Jamie Benn right now too, although he's kind of lost too. That he does but he's kind of lost that edge to his game, kind of like Jamie has. They've both been still very effective players even in their late 30s, but it just depends like what the cost is, just like right. Anything else, like they're not gonna trade their Stankoven to Boston for Marchand, who is what, 37, 38 now? And he's
expiring contract this year.
Yes.
It's a rental.
And that too.
It's going to be a pure rental. Because he's going to go right back to Boston, I'm sure, if he does get traded.
I don't know. Not necessarily. Because, I mean, if he wants to win a cup in his old age and get one more chance, it's not going to be in Boston, if that's what he cares about.
He's a Bostonian, dude.
I agree with you, but if he wants to win a cup, he's going to have to go somewhere else. It's not going to be in Boston. Boston's not even going to make the playoffs this year. But like Marchand would be like just the cherry on the top of the ice cream sundae when it comes to the Dallas Stars organization, because it's a guy that you don't have to ask him to score. He's got all those stupid intangibles that I talk about all the time. He's won the Stanley Cup. He's another captain that would come through this organization. The Stars just seem to always go after those guys. And he's got some connections with Tyler Seguin a little bit too. So that would be cool to see the two of them reunited. That being said, I don't think it happens, just because I think the Stars have other concerns that they would be worrying about. Again, getting another defenseman, I hope. Right, exactly. But I would not be opposed to it whatsoever. Like, right. Yes, bring me Brad. Bring me Brad.
Right. Wouldn't be opposed to it, but the likelihood that it's going to happen is near zero, because the Stars have nothing left to give. They would have to give up their last first-round pick for a while, and probably a second, and probably that won't even do it. I mean, they're probably going to demand one of our three prospects, and that's just not going to happen. We'll do one more question since Zach decided to join the show. Are we getting hot too early? Well, the top three definitely are.
I think that's a legitimate question. It is. And it's hard to say right now, because the Stars are playing really well, and you don't want to say that when they're playing really well. We're going to see a dip at some point here. I don't think it's going to be like a major dip like we're seeing with the Edmonton Oilers, because the Stars just don't do that. But I mean, could we see them lose a couple more games that we've seen them win in the last several weeks? Yes, I think we're due for that. So, I guess the answer to your question, Zach, is no. I don't think we're peaking too early.
Well, yeah, we're not going to win 24 in a row to end the year. We know that. So there's going to be some losses coming, and the top line is going at a crazy rate. There's no way they can really keep that up, but the thing that's going to keep this team from reaching its full potential until playoffs start is Tyler Seguin and Miro Heiskanen. I mean, that's artificially going to pull your team back from what it could be. If those guys can come in and play anywhere near what they were during the regular season, this team is going to hit an entire new stratosphere. That's the crazy thing about this hockey team, is that they are doing this stuff. They're third in the league. They're missing a point per game player at the start of the season, and their best player, what everyone on the Dallas Stars says is their best player, Miro Heiskanen. So I think you cannot say they are hitting their full potential too early, because those
they don't
guys
have two of their best players.
Right, they're missing two of their best players. All right, let's wrap it up. Biggest winner, biggest loser.
Okay, I will give my biggest winner tonight, obviously, the Jason Robertson. I'll take the easy one. He gets two of the three goals here tonight. And again, not just two goals, but how they came, and the fact that they were at the right time. Obviously, especially with the last one. Duh.
Yep. And mine is to Wyatt Johnson. The kid just cannot stop scoring, cannot stop putting up points. He is so confident right now. It is awesome. I love watching that guy play when he's going full speed. He's what we talked about this last season during the playoffs, but Robo is putting up the points like he's a superstar player. Johnson plays like he's a superstar player. And that's what James is saying with that comment from earlier, that he's on his way to being a McDavid, Austin Matthews level, because that's what he plays like. He plays like one of the best hockey players in the world. Biggest loser, Ryan.
How can I not give it to Liam Bischel? I mean, I'm sorry, man. that play definitely humbled you a little bit. Take a piece of humble pie, learn from it, and hopefully don't let it happen again to you. So,
right, you need those. It's going to happen, and I'm glad he was put right.
He's
back
doing
out
it
there
now
to make up for it.
He's doing it now when it matters, not as much as it would in the playoffs.
Right, and I'll eat some crow here. I was saying that he's still able to learn a lot of good stuff in the AHL. It'd be fine if he stayed with Texas. He couldn't learn that. I mean, he's not going to learn the kind of move that Farabee can put on him when he's one-on-one in an awkward position. And now he does. He knows crazy stuff like that can happen. So now if he knows he's got a high-skill player coming at him and there's a little bit of weirdness, he can back off a little bit. James Thomas with the comment, biggest loser is Vladar's five-hole. And I'm gonna somewhat agree. I'm just going to give it to Vladar in general. Giving up that third period goal, I mean, it's a funky shot, sure, but that should never go in, especially in such a big game for the Flames.
And the two goals he lets in from Robo are not even, you know, high-quality shots. And that's despite all the saves that he made tonight. He made a lot of good saves.
The overtime goal was a hard one. He's in tight. I mean, you can't really fault him too much when the guy's in your crease, I think. But yeah, for sure, that first shot is got to be saved.
Yeah, I agree. So,
all right. Anything else, Ryan?
I guess, do the Stars make a move?
They're going to make a move. I think it's not going to be the sexy move. We got the sexy move last year when we didn't think we would. I don't know if Neil's capable of that.
We already got the sexy move with Granlund.
Is Granlund sexy?
Yes, he was one of the
top
players available.
He's an attractive man. Yes, but
I'll make sure I tell him that the next time we have a home game.
Please let him know. Give him my number. Anyway, that's going to do it for us tonight, guys. The Stars win in overtime, thanks to Jason Robertson. Two-goal night. The top three guys just keep on buzzing. We absolutely love that. And Stars are on a four-game win streak. Let's keep it moving as we head out west for some late-night hockey games. Be sure to head over to DraftKings. Use that promo code THPN. Gets you from some free goodies. And more importantly, it lets them know that we sent you over there. Helps us out a good bit. Thanks to our Who Cares Club members for being supportive of us. That's just a little thing you can go join. Give us a little cash to help us offset some stuff that we do here. Ryan's doing a lot of driving out to the AAC, so that's the main thing that's going towards probably is gas. So if you like having Ryan know some good stuff, yeah, it's a long drive. So if you like having Ryan having quick information for you from the players after the games, be sure to join that and help us out a little bit. You also get some free little perks. We're doing some live streams, and you get access to some of Ryan's notes and all that fun stuff. So be sure to check that out. Go over to StarcasticRemarks.com. You can see all our episodes there, and shop StarcasticRemarks.com. Is that the right link?
Stochastic Remarks shop.com. It's the shop.
Backwards. Either way, but you can go get a little t-shirt or a little hat over there, like the one Ryan's got on. He's looking real pretty with that thing on there. And be sure to like, subscribe, leave us a 5-star review on any kind of podcast platform you're on. And I think that's gonna do it. Did I miss anything, Ryan?
Nope, that was pretty good. You're getting better at that.
I'm getting better at that. Let's go. We just put out the flames. GG boys.